Good afternoon. My name is Mike Munger. I'm the director of the PPE program at Duke University. Thanks for coming to this session. The title of the session is Reconsidering the Culture of Free Markets. And it is meet that we discuss this from several angles. Before I begin the program, let me make a request that I was asked to make, but that I will also second. Please do feel free to talk outside. If you're here, you're making a commitment to listen to us. It's voluntary. You needn't be here. Thank you for being here. If you'd like to talk, please feel free to do so outside. We have three panelists, and we're going to discuss a set of questions. I wanted to raise some questions at the outset, though, and I think it's pretty clear why, after a day that started pretty early, and we have a nice big lunch and listened to a very interesting talk, the reason I was selected to be chair of this session was to ensure that you're awake for a little bit. And so, I want to raise some difficult questions. Twice so far, Albert J. Nock has been mentioned. One of the most interesting figures of our movement, he had a particular perspective in which the remnant from the book of Isaiah plays a very large role, particularly if you look at chapter 10 of the book of Isaiah. It says that all of our iniquities are going to be punished, that no mercy is going to be shown to us. Basically, it's describing our political situation in a way that's a pretty accurate prediction. But it says that we needn't worry about the fact that very few people are listening to the truth, because there will be a small remnant, and from that remnant will reemerge a new society. I worry about that perspective. I'm a big fan of the bastions of light that we have built at Hillsdale College, Grove City College, and George Mason. But I wonder that we are telling ourselves that being isolated from the main institutions of higher learning will allow us to criticize those without fear of contradiction, because after all, it's not our fault. Now, I've been at Duke University for the past 20 years. I was chair of the political science department for 10 years. During the time that I've been there, I was able, because I was chair of the department, to hire Jeffrey Brennan, Timur Kuran, Bruce Caldwell. We've been able to create a situation where hundreds and hundreds of undergraduates are able to hear a point of view they would not have been able to hear had I been seduced to that siren song of not having to be at a place where I'm constantly being disagreed with. I worry that students on the left and the right are ill-served by this separation. After all, as John Stuart Mill said, he who knows only his own position knows little enough even of that. I think it's been the experience of many conservative students who go to so-called top universities that they often find that they have to argue with their professors. That is, they develop actual chess openings. They can play chess 3, 4, 5 moves down because they know what the best response is. Many of the students on the left learn only one move chess openings. Pawn to king 4. Good liberal, here's a cookie. That's really all that you need to know. In fact, I was at a meeting of department chairs where, it doesn't really matter which one, but a person who was a chair of one of our many departments of indignation studies. We could have a school at Duke of indignation studies, but just one of the departments of indignation studies said, "I find I don't need to talk to leftist students very much. They already know what they need to know. It's the conservative students that I talk to." Well, that would probably be a surprise to the parents that are paying $60,000 a year that they had actually learned everything they needed to know in high school, memorizing a catechism. Well, that's not what education is. But I worry that we be careful not to commit the same fallacy by isolating ourselves. So, the questions that we're presented with today about the culture of markets and on which our speakers are going to present some answers and probably, knowing them, some provocations, and yes, I'm thinking of you, Nick, might go like this. Do free markets inevitably dissolve the deeper ties of community and tradition, as communitarians and traditionalists often claim? So that's not really a criticism from the left, that's a criticism from the right, that a reliance on markets and anomic societies, the destruction of the social binds and traditions that most societies have, can't stand up to a market society. We should be concerned about them for those reasons. Do markets help in their own way to foster personal and social virtues? If they do, why do so many libertarian proponents of markets neglect or dismiss talk of community and tradition and the talk of virtues? There's a division within our own body between those who worry about social virtue, though perhaps not social justice, because those are different things, but the virtue that we have by consequence of being embedded in a social situation, in a community, and those of us who say living by ourselves as individuals with access to markets is all that should be required. Do we, as conservatives and classical liberals, address the widespread cultural criticisms of markets? Now, in 2008, I was privileged to run as the Libertarian candidate for governor here in North Carolina. I did not win. I was, however, in four televised debates, and in some ways, I was the worst nightmare of the real candidates, Bev Perdue and Pat McCrory, because I have a certain superficial glibness, a PhD in economics, and no hope of winning, which meant that I could actually answer the question. I was astonished at the steadfast refusal of the other two candidates to answer any questions at all. In particular, there was one question, we were having a drought at the time, there was one question from the moderator about what we should do about droughts, and my answer had to do with the inverted price structure that we had where we subsidized the use by large corporations, but use water much more, make it much more expensive for consumers and for poor people, and that we could affect that with prices. They asked Bev Perdue, and she said, "In my shower, I have a bucket. And when I turn on the water, I fill the bucket until it turns warm." And the moderator said, "Ma'am, that's not even an answer." And she looked back into the camera and said, "In my shower, I have a bucket." And repeated the same answer verbatim. If that's really all we have to do better than in terms of economic education, why aren't we winning?